Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe and his South African counterpart, President Jacob Zuma, held a meeting in Pretoria today seeking to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries.
If you look at the deliberation that has been going on during the course of the day, it's very clear that President Mugabe with his delegation, they came here on a mission to beg for resources to South Africa.
A nomination court in Zimbabwe has rejected papers filed by former ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa, wanted to contest a local parliamentary by-election under ZANU-PF.
Didmus Mutasa, papers were rejected. He was not responded by the part of the GFP catalogue in his nomination papers.
And the MDC, led by Welshman Mwibe, today suspended its chairman, Goodrich Chimbaira, on misconduct charges and fomenting divisions in the party.
President Robert Mugabe and his South African counterpart, President Jacob Zuma, held a meeting in Pretoria today seeking to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries. Mr. Mugabe is in South Africa on a two-day visit, which is his first in 21 years. The Zimbabwean leader and his South African counterpart signed a memorandum of understanding and bilateral agreements on various issues, with Mr. Mugabe urging South Africa to invest in the northern neighbor's ailing economy. Mr. Mugabe said Zimbabwe has an abundance of resources which remain unexplored. There were media reports that Mr. Mugabe and his high-level cabinet delegation were in Pretoria to seek help in funding the country's cash-strapped government. But Mr. Mugabe's spokesman George Charamba dismissed those suggestions. At a press conference in Pretoria, President Mugabe vowed that Harare will not exhume the remains of former colonial ruler Cecil John Rhodes. Political analyst Blessing Vava tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe is turning to South Africa as a strategic ally.
You must understand that it's a state visit that Zimbabwe needs more than South Africa. If you look at the deliberation that has been going on during the course of the day, it's very clear that President Mugabe with his delegation, they came here on a mission to beg for resources to South Africa.
But do you think South Africans have an appetite to assist Zimbabwe and also to invest in Harare?
Well, I think South Africa is very much interested in investing in Zimbabwe. But there are some issues that probably I think that they were part of the discussion. They are worried much about the succession of President Robert Mugabe. If not carefully handled, there's a likelihood that ZANU-PF and Zimbabwe is going to implode. After analyzing the various trips that President Mugabe has made previously, he went to China, he went to Russia, all we heard that there were memorandum of understanding that were signed, but nothing tangible is yet to come. So I think the only thing that is going to make sure that we are assisted is when President Mugabe is finally cleared and come clear with his succession, that any other country will be willing to deal with Zimbabwe concretely.
That was Wits University-based political analyst Blessing Vava speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. It's been more than two decades since Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe paid a state visit to neighboring South Africa. VOA's Anita Powell asks why the longtime leader is here and what he's hoping to achieve from the visit.
Mr. Mugabe returns to a South Africa that has changed since his last visit here in 1994. Since South Africa has transformed itself from a global pariah over its apartheid system of racial separation and into the rainbow nation of today. Mr. Mugabe, too, has changed. The man once hailed as a tireless liberation leader showed his indefatigable nature by energetically running for and dubiously winning election after election, allegedly rigging polls, committing human rights abuses, and destroying his nation's economy along the way. In 2013, Mr. Mugabe was elected to his seventh term in a poll that some observers said was flawed. Those events have created a chill between him and the international community. But this visit, says independent analyst David Monyai, may represent the first thaw in Zimbabwe's frosty diplomatic relations. Monyai says one reason is that Mr. Mugabe, who recently became head of both the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, is a little too important to keep ignoring. Also, he notes, Zimbabwe may be turning a corner.
It signals the start of a stabilization of the Zimbabwean politics on one hand and slow coming out of the economic crisis as Zimbabwe engages with the international community. President Robert Mugabe is currently the chair of SADC as well as the chair of the African Union. So he holds two critical positions on the African continent. That gives him leverage on quite a number of issues.
The official reason for this visit, which started Tuesday, is to strengthen economic cooperation between the two nations, said South Africa's foreign ministry. Since Zimbabwe began its economic decline in the early 2000s, the balance of trade has swung decisively in South Africa's favor. And so, the man known for his fiery invective may have to bring out the begging bowl on this visit, says Monyai. The visit comes ahead of a SADC summit hosted by Zimbabwe, which the nation is reportedly struggling to pay for.
I think it's just speculation, but even if it is true, I won't be surprised, given the economic crisis in that country. And therefore, I think like any other head of state would go around shopping and asking for help to host a gathering, which is costly.
But Mr. Mugabe's visit is not without controversy. South Africa has the world's highest population of Zimbabwean expatriates. Some 200,000 of them are now trying to renew their asylum permits after fleeing here in the aftermath of the nation's violent 2008 elections. Mabuto Mabena, a South Africa-based member of one of Zimbabwe's two top opposition parties, is one of those Zimbabweans. He is not thrilled about the president's visit.
He comes on his first visit since 1994, when the majority of Zimbabweans are basically here in South Africa, in the mix of trying to legalize their stay thanks to his poor management of the economy in Zimbabwe. So he comes during the mix of this, what one would call an economic crisis in Zimbabwe, when the Zimbabwean government has run short of ideas on how to resuscitate the economy. So we don't know what he's going to get out of South Africa during this state visit.
Mabena is one of many Zimbabweans hoping that Mr. Mugabe's visit here may be a prelude for his final act. A recent column in the state-run Herald newspaper, widely believed to be written by Mugabe's spokesperson George Charamba, said, soon he will bow out, like all mortals. That statement is causing a lot of head-scratching, Mabena says.
It's not clear whether Mugabe will bow out in the next 2 weeks, in the next month. Will he not be available in 2018? We are actually trying to understand what that statement means ourselves.
Mr. Mugabe has dismissed notions that he is restricted by term limits or even this mortal coil, famously saying, I have died many times. That's where I have beaten Christ. Christ died once and resurrected once. Apt words from the Zimbabwean ruler. This visit, which ends Thursday, is something of a diplomatic revival for one of Africa's most tenacious leaders. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe celebrates 35 years of independence on April 18. Starting Monday, Studio 7 will highlight some of the country's achievements and failures. Don't be left out. Send us a text or voice message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318. You can also send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, and email. Our email address is studio7@voanews.com. The email address again, studio7@voanews.com.
Zimbabwe's provincial nomination court sitting in Manicaland province in preparation for the forthcoming parliamentary by-election in Headlands constituency has rejected papers filed by former ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa. Correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has the story.
Ms. Masabeya said Mutasa would not, according to law, represent ZANU-PF since that same party was not sponsoring him.
Didmus Mutasa, papers were rejected. He was not sponsored by the party which he had indicated in his nomination papers.
But Mr. Masabeya instead accepted nomination papers from ZANU-PF by-election winner Christopher Peter Chingosho, the National Constitutional Assembly's David Mukunda, and independent candidate Albert Mukaratirwa. Mutasa's election agent Sabina Rangana Chitema refused to talk to the media, referring questions to Mr. Mutasa. Mr. Chingosho said he was ready for the election slated for June 10, adding that his party would not use violence to win the election. Mr. Mukunda said he was elated following the acceptance of his papers.
Well, I don't think today I can comment because I'm very happy. I'm the happiest person and I know I'm going to take that seat from ZANU-PF. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mukuratirwa said it is too early to promise anything but was focusing on winning the election. Mutare lawyer Pasmo Nyakureba said the ruling by Mr. Magobeya was valued at law. He said allowing anyone to represent the party without its backing was tantamount to creating anarchy and disorderliness in conducting proper elections. Manicaland ZANU-PF acting provincial chairperson Samuel Ndenge also attended the close of the nomination court, which was peaceful and was held in full courthouse, with additional seats being ferried to ensure enthusiasts got seats in the gallery. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Leda Moyo.
The expulsion of war veteran and Zimbabwe's former Vice President Joyce Mujuru from ZANU-PF last week has been met with mixed reactions from some local people. Our correspondent Thomas Tiripasi reports from the capital, Harare.
Many Harare residents, like Tenjiwe Chuma, say they are unhappy with the manner in which the former ZANU-PF stalwart was expelled from the ruling party. Chuma says the ZANU-PF Politburo's decision to expel Mrs. Mujuru without affording her an opportunity to defend herself was undemocratic.
From the perspective of women empowerment, it is actually a development that contradicts what the rest of the world is advocating for. It is also said to note that Joyce Mujuru was expelled from ZANU-PF without actually giving her a chance to appear before a disciplinary hearing, so that she also says her side of the story. Because as it is, what we see is just the Politburo expelling Joyce Mujuru, leveling allegations against her that they said they are 10 but not limited to that number.
Peter Duve of Mfakose High Density Suburb in Harare echoes the same sentiments, noting that ZANU-PF's decision to expel Mrs. Mujuru was not well thought out by the party, which has been in power since independence from British rule in 1980.
For me, it's not a big deal. What I see is that they were caught out. They don't seem to have had any strategic thinking or any strategic planning in terms of wresting power from Mugabe.
And Mavuku resident Patson Kadenge believes that the former vice president's expulsion was a ploy by the ruling party to divert the attention of the majority from pressing economic issues. He adds that allegations that Mrs. Mujuru plotted to assassinate President Robert Mugabe appear to be far-fetched. Kadenge says Mrs. Mujuru should have been arrested by now if she was pushing for Mr. Mugabe's ouster.
I actually think that it's a diversion from the economic situation, because I think it's really not about Mujuru, but what they want is for us to divert attention from the problems that we are suffering as Zimbabweans.
Those allegations surfaced in the run-up to the ZANU-PF Congress held last December, when Mr. Mugabe's wife, Grace, went on a whirlwind tour of various provinces and denounced Mrs. Mujuru, claiming that she was also corrupt and working with the West to promote a regime change agenda. Mrs. Mujuru and some of her colleagues, who were dumped before the Congress, dismissed the allegations as misleading and calculated, and unseating them from strategic party and national political positions. Kadenge, who claims to be one of the supporters of the former vice president, says she should end her silence and come back to mainstream politics and do what her sympathizers are expecting her to do.
Probably, if it's possible, we would rather have Maimujuru back because we support her and we want her. That's why we voted for her and we've always been behind her. Because if anything, this is going to destroy ZANU-PF. So I think what they need to do is probably work it out. And if she can go to join the MDC, it could be even better.
Edgar Gweshe of Chitungwiza argues that the dismissal of the former vice president confirms a split in the party.
It just confirms that ZANU-PF is virtually split into two, and I think you are aware of the formation of this new party that is being led by disgruntled party heavyweights, former party heavyweights, to say. And also this explosion, I think it confirms the sentiments from critics that politics has taken precedence over the need to revive the economy.
At the same time, Jeffrey Moyo of Harare's East Lesebab says ZANU-PF destroyed itself when it decided to expel Mrs. Mujuru.
Well, the firing of Maimujuru from the ruling ZANU-PF party is an indication that the ZANU-PF party is a revolutionary party that is now consuming its own children. It's now heading for doom.
Chuma adds that the expulsion of Mrs. Mujuru from both ZANU-PF and government, where she was number two to President Mugabe, is a major step backwards in promoting women empowerment.
It is also a steady development, given that the Agenda 2063 of the African Union speaks to women empowerment economically, and as it is, we see that ZANU-PF, whose first secretary is a chairperson of, is expelling a woman at such a time whereby everyone else in the world is advocating for women empowerment. It is actually a very sad development.
Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, who heads the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, says Mrs. Mujuru can cause headaches for ZANU-PF ahead of the 2018 national elections.
It signifies the callousness of the political cabal led by President Mugabe in the manner in which they treat former liberation fighters.
Following her expulsion from ZANU-PF last week, Mrs. Mujuru has largely remained silent. She only reacted through a WhatsApp status update that reads, and I quote, "I will no longer allow the negative things in my life to spoil all of the good things I have done. I choose to be happy," close quote. Despite the criticism in the manner in which Mrs. Mujuru was expelled from ZANU-PF, the party's national spokesperson, Simon Kayamoyo, told Studio 7 by phone that the former vice president's dismissal was above board. Kayamoyo refused to take further questions, saying he was in a meeting. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at issues faced by Zimbabweans living in the diaspora.
And Zimbabweans mourn the death of musician Dayton Somanje.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
A white police officer in the southeastern U.S. state of South Carolina has been charged with murder after a video showed him firing repeated shots at a fleeing unarmed black man and killing him after a traffic stop.
The officer picked up something from the ground, walked back to Scott's body and dropped the object next to him.
A state-run media outlet in Iran is reporting that Iranian Navy ships have left for waters near Yemen amid a Saudi-led airstrike campaign to halt the advance of Iranian-backed Shiite rebels in the country.
An opposition party in the Democratic Republic of Congo is protesting an electoral calendar that it says will deny many young people the right to vote in local elections this year.
And a top aide to U.S. President Barack Obama said Tuesday that the White House classified computer systems are secure while acknowledging vulnerabilities in its unclassified system.
The MDC, led by Welshman Ncube, today suspended its chairman Goodrich Chimbaira on misconduct charges and fomenting divisions in the party. A letter to Chimbaira said specific charges will be communicated to him when he is summoned for a hearing. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached Chimbaira, who says he is unaware of charges laid against him.
Yeah, I can confirm that I've just received the letter of suspension, but it's not clear because there are no charges at all. It's just a letter just saying that you have been suspended from being the national chairman of the party and from being a member of the party. My claim is that they wanted me to resign, but I've refused to resign. I think that's my claim.
Are you ready to defend yourself when you are called for the hearing?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm more than ready.
That was suspended Ncube MDC Chairman Goodrich Chimbaira on the line from Harare.
Some Zimbabweans living in the diaspora are engaged in various projects back home, such as paying fees for school children, farming schemes for villagers, and others designed to enhance development in the country. In most cases, these projects involve community leaders and avoid the country's volatile political field dominated by ZANU-PF for almost 35 years. We caught up with some of the people who are engaged in boosting the agriculture and education sectors. They are helping less privileged members of society who struggle to make a living. For more details on some of the projects, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with Reverend Raphael Mutombeni of International Foundation of Hope and Tamsanga Njovu, who is working with several Zimbabweans in providing school material for needy children. Reverend Mutombeni, who was recently in Zimbabwe, Swaziland, Botswana, and other nations in the Southern African Development Community regions, says agricultural projects are transforming the lives of many people.
The system is a water-conserving system where we teach farmers how to build beds and erect this bucket and drip, and it has a very good yield at the end of the day with very little water to use, because the region in general has very little water. The water we have is underground.
Mr. Joe, there are many other projects that people are doing, and one of them, as Mr. Mtomben is mentioning, is to actually boost agriculture in the Southern African region. You are also conducting some of the projects. Tell us about your project.
We are going in primary schools in Matabeleland and part of the Midlands. We are identifying children that the schools say have potential, and then we are sorting funds for these children to make sure that they have school fees and they don't have to be distracted. Secondly, to make sure that the environment that they live in is one that is conducive to them. The next phase is going to be where during holidays we can get permission from the Ministry of Education. There are so many teachers that are based in the diaspora. Most of them can then participate in kind of group programs to try, like crash programs that are paid for. The idea is that in Matabeleland and parts of the Midlands, the education system from primary level has been left behind. And what we are trying to do here is we are trying to repair that damage to make sure that these children, when they finish their grade 7, they have the best opportunity to go to very good places, secondary schools, where they then can get a better opportunity in life.
Reverend Mtombeni, is there any way that you can actually work with Mr. Joe to perfect the kind of projects that you are doing?
Definitely we can work together, because With the program I'm doing, I find out that that's the source of poverty. So poverty is the main enemy that we have. So if we fight hunger and then we fight poverty and then we improve the education and the health of our children and the communities, so we can definitely combine and work together in that area. I'm a hunger fighter. He is into education.
Mr. Zhou.
Creativity. These are things that, if you look at the United Kingdom, the Zimbabwe Diaspora Focus Group, a lot of organizations that work in the interest of Zimbabwe, that's already happening.
Briefly, Reverend Mutombeni, how is the government reacting to some of your projects?
So far, I can't complain. I can't say there's anything. There is support to what we are doing because we start from the grassroots.
That was Reverend Raphael Mutombeni of International Fountain of Hope speaking with Studio 7 from Dallas, Texas. You also heard from Tamsa Nganshou, a Zimbabwean living in London, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Duwe.
Zimbabweans are mourning the death of a great musician, Dayton Somanje, who passed on yesterday. Blessing Zulu has more details.
Marondera-based Sungura music star Dayton Somanje of the Tsaona fame died at Parirenyatwa Hospital in Harare yesterday. He was 51. Dayton will be buried in Marondera tomorrow. Dayton and his brother Josphat shot to fame in 1989 after music superstar Oliver Mtukudzi introduced them to the nation at the launch of his live album Bombera at Sakuva Stadium in Mutare. One of the hit songs that the two brothers penned is Tsaona, which talks about the trials and tribulations of life. Tengao Dzoke went on to release the song Sei Kukuonda, which is essentially the lamentation of a woman who is being abused. The Sungura outfit also released the song Titonga Nisei, a call for intervention in a potentially explosive dispute. The songs were often accompanied by catchy chants such as and who can forget this one? Engineer. Secondary. Dayton stayed with Pengao Dzoke and Josphat formed his own outfit, Somanje Stars. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Blessing. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about President Robert Mugabe's official visit to South Africa as Zimbabweans flee their homes due to xenophobic attacks.
And now to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe and his South African counterpart, President Jacob Zuma, held a meeting in Pretoria today seeking to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries.
A nomination court has rejected papers filed by former ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa, who wanted to contest a local parliamentary by-election.
And the MDC, led by Welshman Ncube, today suspended its chairman Goodrich Chimbaira on misconduct charges and fomenting divisions in the party.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.